Josh and Richie here with your daily takeaway. We don't often talk about matters of current affairs on this show. It's not really our quarter, is it?
No. Imagine if we did talk about current affairs. How awful would that be?
Well, this show went out on the day that, for whatever reason, Barack Obama turned up at Downing Street. No one knew he was coming. He was just there today.
He did turn up with a pack of chicken and a fishing rod.
There's an observation that I've made about this that we need to discuss later on, and no one's talking about this in the world of news. So we'll touch on it at the end of the podcast.
So what you're saying is, right, you want people to listen all the way through to this show because you have an observation about Barack Obama.
Correct.
In London.
Yes.
That nobody else up until this point has pointed out.
Nobody else has noticed this, no.
Right, well, listen. Let's get the show out of the way and then hear this at the end.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
So at the weekend we did this. We took our 5-year-old daughter Thea to see Frozen the Musical on Saturday. And it was amazing. As I said before, my heart is like a brick on a rope. It takes a lot to move me. I'm very cynical. Got a lot of cushions thrown at me in the lounge for like moaning or putting a downer on stuff if anything emotional comes on telly. I'm quite bad like that. Probably a bit of deflection going on there. And we left Thea's littlest sister, Stella, with her auntie so she didn't ruin anything because she's 2 and she's a wrecking ball. I don't think she'd have been allowed in, to be honest with you. We'd have to leave her outside. So it was kind of a nice... I don't know if you know people listening to this who've got a few kids, we've got siblings similar age, and the younger ones sometimes ruins it for the older ones. They never get to do anything on their own, so it was nice. But she dressed up in her little princess outfit, which is so cute. There's lots of other little princesses running around. Beautiful theatre as well, the Theatre Royal on Drury Lane. And I have to admit, I welled up quite a few times during the performance.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting to be like that at all, but I guess it was like I spent the most time during it looking at Thea and her reaction, and she was just in awe of this thing. And it was like obviously her favourite thing ever, Frozen, coming to life. But I guess it's that Frozen kind of represents, say, from a little girl's perspective, because I'm a dad of daughters, that's my only angle on this, is that it's like all their dreams ahead of them without Instagram or people being horrible to you and all that kind of stuff as well. So it's like a little snapshot in life. But it was magical. And there was a bit where I think you alluded to it before we went last week about there's an outfit change, which her outfit changes when she's on stage, the main lady, Ala, I believe it is. I still haven't caught the going. But it is unbelievable. I don't know how they did it.
That Frozen musical is magical. It's absolutely amazing.
And I feel like almost a bit emotional thinking about it again now because it was just such a lovely family thing to do. So I thought let's put this to good use here on Home Time, despite the fact I'm going all soppy. If you have seen something in your life that you would describe as being truly magical, tell us about it tonight on the show. And it doesn't have to be a theatre thing. It could be an amazing footballing moment. I'm an Evertonian. I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
That's why you've gone with Frozen.
That's where I've gone with Frozen. It's all I know these days. Maybe it's the Northern Lights. Anything goes. But if you want to share it with the group, we'd love to hear about it. Start the Monday in the right way.
Every person's magical is going to be different, I suppose. Paul says, 2019 in Vegas, I saw Gwen Stefani live.
That's fair enough.
Which is fine. Respect that, Paul.
Matt Field has tweeted a photo of the overhead kick that Garnacho scored against Everton at Goodison Park. Like you say, swings and roundabouts.
Father Christmas in Lapland, I'd have to say.
Actual Father Christmas.
Actual Father Christmas in Lapland. That was incredible. That was magical.
And that's a hell of a trip as well, isn't it, to Lapland?
Two planes. The furthest runway was just snow and ice. You're like, wow. Even that on its own, if you sort of like, wow, that's clever. He's landed on that. Now we're off again. That would be magical. But then to get on a skidoo and go and see Santa in this part of the world where there's about 45 minutes of sunlight a day. That was magic.
It'd be good to see him in his natural environment. So the only other time I've seen Santa previously was at Cribbs Causeway Shopping Centre in Bristol. Jamie says, on a Royal Navy warship exiting the Suez Canal in the Red Sea at very early dawn with a few either side of the beaming red mountains lit up by the sunrise. The water still dark blue. Only the hum of the ship's engine was to be heard. It was amazing to witness.
That does sound amazing.
That's poetic.
Mark in Edinburgh says, this is real, tangible magic. Finding a clean portaloo at Tea in the Park 2005 on the last night after not going for 3 days.
That is actually biblical as well. We've got Aaron on the line. Aaron, what's the most magical thing you've witnessed?
So the most magical thing, I went to the premiere night of Avengers Endgame at the IMAX in Waterloo in London. Absolutely jam-packed with 500 Marvel fans, all watching in awe at the end of a 15-year film culmination, and pretty much the entire house, including me, sobbing with joy at the end of it because it was just so magical to see.
Wow. So it was like, and don't take this the wrong way, it was just an incredible coming together of 500 super nerds.
I'm happy to say that that was that, and I was one of those super nerds, yeah.
Fair play to you.
It was just because we had all grown up with those films and gone through so much with those films over 10 years, it was the end of it, and we knew it was an end of an era, and it certainly was for me and a lot of others.
So with that kind of aspects of it being like the premiere and in a big cinema like that, was it like a midnight screening? Was there an element of tiredness to the 2:30 tears, maybe?
it absolutely was, and that's why it was guaranteed to be full of just fans, because everyone obviously stayed up, had to queue, had to pay quite a lot of money for a premiere ticket. So that's why the sense of overwhelming emotion was joined and agreed with all of us.
Oh, wow, so it was quite a communal thing there? You were kind of sobbing on each other's shoulders in many ways.
Definitely. We all came out and there was hugs and high fives and everyone was wiping tears of joy. Again, I just want to say. But yeah, it was, I've never felt such a communal emotional bond with 500 strangers in all my life.
Amazing.
The Daily Takeaway. Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Simon's texted to say, Ronnie O'Sullivan, 147 Live. Breathtaking, how simplistic he made it all look.
Next up, another magical sight. Ian, what did you see?
We're on the M1 for an hour on the way to work.
Right.
And we were stuck there in a traffic jam as the car started moving again. All the discarded cigarette butts started bouncing the wind from the cars, the drafts from the cars, and it would look like a load of butterflies taking off.
That is truly poetic, isn't it?
It's like a carpet of small butterflies flying away.
I want to try and understand this properly, Ian. So where were those discarded cigarette butts? Were they all on the floor then from everyone else that had been in the jam around you?
Yeah, the discarded cigarette butts from all the other jammed drivers. Yeah, all the other commuters who were stuck in the same traffic jam.
That's absolutely gorgeous. I can almost hear Attenborough's commentary over the top of it as those things bounce around like little tiny butterflies.
Yeah.
Who needs the Serengeti when you got the M1 or wherever it was you were?
Exactly, yeah, M1 between Barnsley and Wakefield.
Specific place where you can go and witness it yourself now.
Well, it needs to have a name, doesn't it? We've got the Northern Lights. What should that be called?
The butts things to mind.
The Yorkshire butts.
The Yorkshire butts. Yeah, go and witness the Yorkshire bouncing butts near Barnsley.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Hi to David in Liphook, who says, cigarette butt are flies, obviously.
Oh, that's very good.
We didn't think of that at the time, but if we could turn very time good. Back, that's what we should call them. Thank you.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Back at home today, aren't we? Back in our studios here at One Golden Square after the adventures we had last week. You would have heard Thursday's show, Bush and I successfully testing out the new studios that we're going to move to.
I've had a thought about that. Is that a little bit like them sending like a dog or a monkey to space before all the humans?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
All right, fair enough, we'll take that.
Sacrificing us just in case things went wrong. But yes, we are moving home in about 3 weeks' time. We're moving from One Golden Square to brand new studios. And we've proved now that they work because everything was fine the other day.
We snagged it to within an inch of its life.
So exciting times, but it's really important that we don't lose sight of the past. So after our successful little trip to the new studio the other day, we're all celebrating in the pub afterwards how well it went, and a sarcastic member of the Absolute Radio team said, as we say goodbye to Golden Square, you guys should put a blue plaque up marking all the things that you've done there. And we're thinking, I know you're being sarcastic, but that's actually quite a good idea.
We were like, hold on a second, Brendan, say that again. Hey, get this guy forwards. But it's like you see blue plaques everywhere with, like, something amazing happened here or this famous person. You know, I can't think of any, like, you know... Was it Isaac Newton?
Yeah.
Lived here or invented gravity round here.
Logie Baird invented the telly here.
Exactly. Some cracking examples of blue plaques coming out here. But, they mark stuff and some amazing stuff has happened in the four walls of this building.
Exactly.
Vin Diesel had a ciggy in our staff room when he said he was having putting some makeup on.
Yeah.
All of AC/DC were in the lift. Do you remember that?
Gerard Butler came in and gave us multiple hugs and said, I love you guys.
Who's the fella from Wolverine again?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman told us his toasty recipe.
He did, exactly.
In these four walls.
So when we move out of here in about 3 weeks' time, do you want that not to be marked?
That's got to be marked, isn't it?
It's going to be marked by a blue plaque. But how do you do that?
Yeah, do you have to have, like, council approval?
Don't ask questions like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So what do we do?
If you've got any information on how you go about getting a blue plaque up to mark history, or if you've got any ideas as to what we can put on our blue plaque to mark Absolute Radio's time at Golden Square, don't want to make it all about us, but only a couple of years ago, we did a 24-hour-long jukebox from this studio in this building.
Can you remember that? About 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, we were literally off our heads.
I think we played a 28-minute song by Pink Floyd.
We did. Yeah. We did. That
was so
good.
I remember sat on the floor crying.
That should be commemorated.
Yes, it should be.
Or we could have a plaque that says, God bless him, Granddad cracked his head open on this desk.
Granddad!
Do you remember when he fell out of his wheelchair? It's a doll, by the way, if you just joined the show at a later date. Nothing bad's happened.
Peter's hanging on. You got some news for us, Peter?
Basically, you have to be dead 20 years to have a blue plaque, so it might be a bit of an extreme way to get a plaque, that, so I just thought I'd mention that to you. Only in London. Everywhere else, you can get them quicker.
Are you telling us? Are you telling us you have to physically have been dead for 20 years to get anywhere near a plaque?
In London. In London, you have to be 20 years dead. So that's why people like Sid... do you remember Sid James from the Carry On films?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's got one in Acton, and he had to be dead 20 years before he got it.
Has Sid James been dead 20 years now?
At least. Yeah, all these people have been dead.
Wow, so what, if this radio station was in, like, Barnsley or whatever, to keep an M1 thing going from earlier on, less amount, 10 years?
I believe it's different all over the country, but London, you have to be dead 20 years.
Well, here's a thing, all right? We might broadcast from Golden Square in London, but we're a national radio station, so surely as a technicality, a loophole here.
What about this? We only broadcast from where the ends of our shoes are.
Yeah.
you could put the plaque in Barnsley if you wanted to. It's up to you, but you can't put it in London, apparently, if it's an official one.
Ah, well, there's the key, though, isn't it?
Apparently.
An official.
put it on the old Goodison Park or something like that, you know.
Too soon. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, sorry, apologies for that. Okay.
This is good intel. Thank you so much.
All right, no probs.
One for the kids, this, but Sid James has been dead for about 50 years.
That can't be true. That cannot be true. Maybe it's because, don't know about you, but I grew up, there's so many Carry On movies on all the time. It's mad, isn't it? The passage of time.
Yes.
There you go.
The noise of the past. It's Bush and Ritchie's Sound of the Decades.
Absolute 80s.
What about a new feature called Can't Believe They've Been Dead That Long? Each week, someone gets in touch with someone and thinks, oh, I didn't realise they've been dead for that long. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, dear.
Now, listen, if you've been annoyed by our Sound of the Decades, it's wound you up this weekend, then good. It means it's working. Mm. It's a sound from the 1980s, synonymous with that decade, and no one's guessed it so far. Can you tell us what this is?
Terry is in Bicester, and he thinks he can. Terry, how are you? How was your weekend?
How was my weekend? Very busy.
What were you doing, Terry?
Well, I'm retired, but I work harder now than I ever did when I was working.
Well, what have you been doing?
I restore old gliders and their aeroplanes.
Bring
them back to life.
Wow, remote control aeroplanes and stuff?
No, real gliders. My last big project was a biplane, Stearman, that crashed in the sea down at Bournemouth 3 years ago, and we put it all back together. It's now sitting on display in Dubai.
Wow.
It's never going to fly again, but we made it look like it would.
So if we wanted to get a show glider, a home time show glider, maybe we'll put one of them things off the back that says, listen, between
home time,
whatever, 4 and 7.
Yeah.
What? How much would that cost us, Terry?
What? How deep's how thick's your wallet? I mean, you can buy a glider for £3,000 or £4,000, or you can go and spend £300,000. It's it's the same as cars and all things like that.
Okay, well, show glider. Our boss Paul listens, so maybe it could happen. Let's just see.
Well, there's Terry spending his weekend restoring old gliders and planes, and then building up to his Monday evening. All this culmination of the moment for Sound of the Decades from the 80s. Terry, before we get your guess, What of all the Absolute Radio stations do you listen to the Home Time show with?
Oh, Absolute Radio 80s.
Absolute Radio 80s. So we might be like hammering in an aerial on, whatever you call it. Is that a word from a plane?
A word from a plane?
No, what's the bit at the end of a plane that you go up and down with?
Flaps.
Pardon?
Oh, well, up and down is your elevator.
Oh, what's the other one, though? Left and right, then? Pitch and yaw.
Right, pitch is controlled by your elevator.
Oh, I've got to
roll
go.
Is controlled by your ailerons.
That's what I was trying to say, ailerons.
And yaw is controlled by your rudder.
Right, we're going to have to stop you there, Terry.
Flaps.
Have a listen to this one more time.
Terry, what's the sound of the decades?
It's a credit card frick imprinter.
Richie's phone's just piped up.
Siri wants to tell me what the sound of the decades is. Be quiet.
Stay out of it, Siri.
What was your guess, okay, Terry?
It's a credit card imprinter, a brick, you know, your old slidey backwards and forwards thing.
Like one of them ones that had, like, ink in the paper and you slid it across back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Chaos.
Yeah, very good. You give a copy to the customer.
How certain are you, Terry?
Well, I've operated one thousands of times in my past, so I'm absolutely 100% sure that's what it is.
Wow.
Let's find out.
You're a loser, and you have lost.
Sorry, Terry, it's not right, mate.
Well, you got me hanging on the phone all this time and I'm wrong. Oh, no!
You started talking about rudders and aerialons.
Terry, it's been educational. We've loved talking to you and you've had a fantastic weekend, but it's not that. Sorry.
Oh, crikey. OK, then. Well, thank you for letting me try.
Keep on trucking, fella. Good to speak to you.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
It's time for good news and only good news. There's too much grim stuff going on in the world. It's easy to see. So let's focus on just the good news right now, please. Share it. If you've got a piece of good news, we'll share it with everyone else. And when we're all hearing about good things, we'll forget about the bad.
Well, and we must say congratulations to Vladimir Putin winning his election completely legally and stuff like that as well. So good on him there. What else good news-wise? We're having our fence done.
You have your fence done.
Remember me telling you a while back that sometimes when the moon was low,
yes,
we had so many holes in our fence, it looked like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's a long while ago. So if that fence has been like that for a long time, then that really is good news that your fence is finally getting done.
I tell you, it's good news for our neighbour. He's probably sick to death of it because, like, the foxes just walked through the fence. It's like airport security or going on the tube. But we're getting it done. I've never had, this is so boring, in my entire life, I've never had a fence done.
Really?
Never had a new fence.
New fences are great.
I've just always added someone else's fence. Never had my own fence done.
Fence chat on Home Time.
More of it. Have you got any good news you want to share?
I have got some good news. I successfully parked. There's a car park in Stevenage, right?
Where's this going?
There is a car park that is right by the train station, but it's not for the train station. Okay. People use it for the train station. And I've parked in there before and got a parking ticket.
Oof.
Because I wasn't there on railway business. But
what kind of business were you there for?
I was there yesterday.
Right.
Once again, on railway business, but shouldn't have been. And yesterday didn't get a ticket.
Some murky stuff going on with you in the daytime there in those car parks, isn't it, eh?
It's all above board.
He's self-employed, that's what he tells them.
Honestly, it's above board.
Okay, well, I don't want to dig any further. Even if you have got a legitimate explanation what you're doing down at the car park at that time of night, I like leaving the uncertainty in people's heads if they're listening.
Only good news, please. My six-year-old son got a very good from his teacher at parents' evening today, says Alex in Scarborough.
Get in. Ian says, good news. We've found out today we got the keys for our new home on the 28th. That is from Holly and Ian.
That's very, very, very good news.
Very good news indeed.
Paul, share with us your good news.
I managed to secure myself an original cast-iron fireplace from a new flat that I'm renovating for £100.
Okay, and is this, were you on Facebook Marketplace, like I do quite a lot of my life, looking around for this?
That's exactly where it was, yeah.
Paul, £100 seems like a bargain for a cast-iron fireplace.
Yeah, it's pretty good, eh? So it'll save a bit of cash with the monumental costs of the renovation, so...
Brilliant. And then when you, have you been round to get it yet, or are you going round to get it?
I've got it in the back of the car now. So.
Wow, but this is actually happening live. This is unbelievable.
Fireplace collection on home time.
Were they nice? Were you have a bit of chat with them, or a bit of banter, or did you just get the fireplace in the back and get the hell out of there?
Brief chat. The guy was friendly,
Heavy?
It was friendly.
No, heavy?
He was 6'1", I think he was, wasn't he? Oh, no, the fireplace. Yeah, did he give you a hand getting it in the back?
He did, because it was a bit heavy and I had to stop twice down the stairs, and then he manhandled the thing into my car himself, which made me look not good.
And then how's the house coming along then? House renovation, are you getting there?
Yes, slowly, extremely slowly. Electrician starts on Wednesday. Plaster has already started. It's a nightmare.
So you've got a few irons in the fire.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah. Cast irons.
Irons in the fire.
I think he got it. I think we're going to terminate this call for the best of us all here. Right, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Brian Sultana has tweeted us to say the Home Time show is as professional, clean-cut and hilarious as ever. We'll take that. It's good news.
He's obviously being serious, isn't he?
He means that from the bottom of his heart.
One late piece of good news. Didn't think about this because it didn't happen over the weekend. It happened this morning. But it's something that recognises that times are changing. I mowed the lawn this morning.
Ooh.
You know how happy that makes me. But I've said many times before, my lawn is like my fourth child.
Yes.
And it's the start of lawn season. I tell you what, she's looking fantastic.
Well, weirdly enough, I mowed the lawn over the weekend, mm-hmm. right? And I don't like mowing the lawn, so I'm always begrudgingly doing it. But you will have had this situation where you can't get... We've not had, like, two nice days back-to-back.
No.
So it's been... We all know you can't mow a wet lawn.
You can't mow a wet lawn.
That's the first rule of lawn school, isn't it? Don't mow a wet lawn. But it was great to have 2 days so you could do it.
Saturday was a wet day, so one thing I was able to go out and do, I was able to go out and spike her over the weekend. You've got to spike the lawn, first of all, to get the air into it, break up the soil, it gets all compacted. And then you had the dryness of yesterday and then managed to also mow it today.
I believe you've just lost me there. Just lost me on that particular bit. I'm with you with mowing and that. All the spiking, don't know what that is.
I'll lend you me spiker.
Nope. The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Right then, been looking forward to this.
Okay, so he turns up at Downing Street. No one knew. Everyone's surprised. In he goes, has a meeting. Don't know what about.
Okay.
Comes out like 90 minutes later, by which point, obviously, everyone's ready. The world's media have amassed, so they want to talk to Barack.
Well, this is it. We're talking about Barack Obama, by the way. We probably didn't mention that at the beginning.
Well, hopefully, if you heard the beginning, you'd be waiting for this moment. Now, when he was president, obviously, he can cruise around in the presidential state limousine.
The motorcade.
Yeah, the motorcade. I think they call it the Beast. It's a purpose-made Chrysler, and it's got vials of the president's blood in it for transfusions, and it's like bulletproof and all this kind of... It's an incredible thing.
Yeah.
He's no longer president, is he?
So
comes out, waves at everyone, and then gets in a 2019 Reg Range Rover.
Oh, wow, that's not the Beast, is it?
It's not the Beast,
So not the Beast. I like to see him going like a little hire car, you know, those little put around town cars that you get if you're in Greece for the weekend or something.
Like, that car's so old now, it's had to have a MOT.
Oh, what, yes.
Because it's 5 years old.
It wasn't Green Tomatoes taxis he got in or something like that, was it?
I don't know. But like we said... No one's talking about that, are they?
That's a very good point. I've been on Twitter quite a bit today and I've seen no one mention that.
5 years old Range Rover.